This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, we meet the unusual chimpanzees of Senegal. Unlike their tree-loving brethren, they live on the ground. Well-grounded chimps and the man who photographs them, coming up.
First, to the conflict between Tibetans and the Chinese government, a conflict that's also playing out in the online world. A number of American groups that support Tibetans say their groups have been targeted by sophisticated cyber attacks. And as KQED's Rob Schmitz reports, the attacks have increased since the uprising in Tibet began last month, and they are being traced to internet servers in China.
China's crackdown on Tibetans in recent weeks has led to protests from New Delhi to Athens to here along Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles.
Stop the killing!
In Tibet!
Stop the murder!
In Tibet! Stop
Dozens wave Tibetan flags, screaming in protest on a recent sunny afternoon in front of the federal building in West Los Angeles. But it's not just Tibetans in China who they feel are being unfairly attacked. The demonstrators say China's attacking them, too, with virus-carrying emails.
What's kind of disturbing is that a lot of emails are coming from email addresses of people that I know, but with attachments.
Tsitin Fanucharis works for three local Tibetan advocacy groups.
When we send each other emails, we don't send the attachments. So as soon as you see an attachment, you know that there's something wrong with it. And very often you find out that the person really didn't send it to you. As a matter of fact, this morning I got something from the office of His Holiness the Dalai Lama with an attachment.
That same email, which appeared to be coming from the personal email of the exiled Tibetan leader, was sent to hundreds who belonged to an electronic mailing list for Tibet supporters. The attachment was infected with the so-called Trojan horse. Other emails shown to NPR, which were described as carrying infected attachments, also appeared to be coming from sources within the pro-Tibetan online community. Greg Walton provides tech support to around 300 Tibetan support groups worldwide. He says since the unrest in Tibet began, anyone affiliated with a pro-Tibetan advocacy group has been receiving around 10 carefully crafted virus-laden emails a day.
There's been a marked upsurge in the level of the attacks, and the attacks themselves have become more sophisticated.
Walton researches Chinese cyber attacks at the University of Sunderland in northern England. He says these recent email attacks aren't packaged in your garden variety spam messages selling Viagra.
The emails which the Trojans are attached to have appeared to come from trusted sources, and the language has been quite nuanced, quite subtle. So the user is led to believe that the email has come from a trusted source and so opens the attachment.
Once the attachment is open, says Walton, the user's computer is under the control of a remote user in another country. Walton has quarantined these viruses to see where they're coming from. Almost all of them, he says, have been traced back to control servers in China. Still, Walton says, it's impossible to know whether they're being launched by Chinese government officials.
If you wanted me to speculate about the source, I would say that it's patriotic hackers who've been tasked by the state to attack these networks.
Walton says if the Chinese government had a direct hand in this, it would have been even more sophisticated in obscuring the source of the attacks. Chen Shujie, a spokesman for the Chinese Consulate General in Los Angeles, said in a statement that the government of China opposes criminal acts undermining computer systems. He said a tiny number of pro-Tibetan U.S.-based NGOs have made groundless accusations against the Chinese government, with the purpose of tarnishing the image of the Chinese government and finding excuses for what he called their anti-China activities.
I'm Yangson Brown, and this is the Tibet Connection.
Still, the Tibet Connection, a radio program based in Los Angeles, remains suspicious. The program's website and an accompanying blog were recently hacked, says Ronnie Novick. He manages the website out of Dharamsala, India. Novick says the attack prevented news updates from inside Tibet from appearing on it, and it enabled the attacker to see who was visiting the site.
We don't have top secret information or plans or anything, but what we feel that is being looked for is our emails to people inside, messages, Skype messages, instant messages, you know, names and phone numbers. We feel that this virus was put on our site today was looking for visitors from China who were visiting our sites.
Novick says the attack couldn't have come at a more vulnerable time. Correspondents for the program are relaying news on the website from sources witnessing the Chinese crackdown in eastern Tibet. Because the site was hacked, he says, the news didn't appear. For NPR News, I'm Rob Schmitz in Los Angeles.